This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We're doing a little series called Becoming a Stronger Christian. And we started it last week. I'm going to continue that today and become a stronger Christian. Anybody interested in becoming stronger as a Christian? Good. It's good. I think it's a good thing. I don't think anybody says, hey, I really want to see how weak I can be as a Christian. I think most people, you're interested. Let's see how we can get stronger. So let's pray, and we'll believe that God will give us the wisdom and that He'll give you insight. I mean, you've come, just don't come and sit. Come and receive. Come and get some. Don't come and sit. Come and get. Come and say, Lord, I thank you that, how many of you know God knows exactly what you're dealing with? He knows it all. I had people come up to me sometimes, this real strange look on their face, are like, you were in my house last night. I'm like, no, I really wasn't. I wasn't. I said, now, we do plant bugs on people so we can listen in to find out sermon topics. No, I know, I'm kidding. We don't do that. But if you, sometimes you can sit there in church, and it's like the Lord just took your picture with one of those old Polaroids. Remember those old Polaroids used to spit out the picture? You take it and go, and that picture would spit out, and you shake it a little bit, and then you look at it, it starts, anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. And you're looking at it, and all of a sudden you're like, ooh, that's me. Ooh. Some of you are sitting in church sometimes, and it's like the Holy Spirit took your picture, and you're watching it develop, you're going, ooh. But a lot of times it can be a good thing. It can be that's helpful. So let's receive something tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for every individual that came tonight. They made an effort to come. You said in all labor there is profit. And so, Father, we are grateful tonight. We look to the Holy Spirit, who is the wonderful teacher, that He can enlighten me and give me words to speak that bring light and strength and health. And Father, we just ask that our hearts are open. We ask that we can receive everything you have for us, because it's good. And we give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of times people ask the question, what is a strong Christian? What does a strong Christian look like? And I think if you ask that question, you get a lot of different responses. Some people think, well, a strong Christian is somebody that goes to church. And I think that's certainly part of the equation, but many of you know people who've gone to church for years and they're not strong Christians. You know, going to church won't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage will make you a car. But it's helpful. Some people think, well, strong Christians can quote Scripture, quote a lot of Scripture. I remember reading a book one time about a guy who said he went to the state fair in Dallas. And he was at the state fair in Dallas, and he said there was a guy there at the state fair who could, if you gave him a Scripture reference, he could quote. He knew the entire Bible. And he could quote the whole, maybe some of you have seen him, but if you walked up and gave him, you know, from the book of Hezekiah, he'd look at you and smile, go, not a book. Take your money. You had to give him some money. So he put the money down, and he would quote it word for word, King James. And but think about this. He's at a fair. And the night that this one author said he saw the guy, his arm was broken. His wife had left him, and he was dealing with alcoholism. Just because you know Scripture doesn't mean that you are a strong Christian. He knew that, but he knew Scriptures. It didn't make him a strong Christian. Well, some people think, you know, being a strong Christian is that they don't indulge in certain activities. When I was growing up, I was Baptist. My mom was Shiite Baptist, and she was serious Baptist, and so, man, she didn't drink. My dad didn't drink. No one in my family drank, and they didn't dance. And my parents didn't even cuss, which I realize now that's kind of strange, isn't it? Just my mom cussed twice, both at me, and and she swears to this day she never said it, but she did. I heard her, got a witness. Lord knows he was there. But we grew up that way, and so oftentimes people think, well, that's a strong Christian, someone who does not do certain behaviors. And I really believe what happens is, as you grow as a Christian, certain behaviors leave you. But that doesn't mean you're a strong Christian. I tell people I smoke and drink and cuss all I want to. I just don't want to. I really don't. I don't want to. Many of you know my background. It's not like I had some people think pastors were like, we were born perfect and then grew up perfect. And I'm not. dope smoking, women chasing, wild living. If you didn't do that in the 70s, you weren't a good heathen. But I was a good heathen. And I always have to kind of reference that, because anytime I start talking about dope smoking, people think I gave it up last week. It was not last week. It's 35 years ago. Hadn't touched it. And so you're like, that's good. That's good, Pastor. That's good. We are so glad you have not. That is comforting, isn't it? Because you'd be like, what are you teaching us from the Bible? All right. But just because you don't do things doesn't make you a strong Christian. Some Christians just, they live so isolated. They don't go to movies. They don't do this. They don't. Listen, guys, we can't isolate ourselves completely from everyone around us who's not a believer. Then you have to come out of the world. The idea is that we're able to live as lights and witnesses in the world. So let me recap. I gave one, and we're going to talk about different things that make up strong Christians. Here's a sign of strength in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Paul wrote, and these were his instructions. He said, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all you do be done with love. Now, that's a real quick checklist right there. Watch, you're spiritually alert, stand fast in the faith. In other words, you're not moved. You learn to walk by faith, not by your feelings. You're brave and strong. In other words, you're able to deal with things and persevere in things and face things. And then you do everything with love. So right there, that gives you just a little, in a little capsule, what some of being a strong Christian is about. We're going to talk about how to get there. But Paul also instructed Timothy to be strong in the grace that's in Christ. And we're talking about that again tonight. And so let's define grace a bit, and we'll go over that just for those who weren't here. Grace is God's undeserved and unearned favor and God's power and ability on our behalf. His unearned, undeserved favor towards you and His power and ability on our behalf. It is a major theme of the New Testament. It is the theme of the New Testament, is the grace of God. Paul said in Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 24, he said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Keeping in mind, when Paul was writing this, he was writing this to people who had not come out of a Jewish background. And so he's talking to people, and the Jewish people at that time, they were the ones that had the covenant. That's the Old Testament. They had the covenant. It's the Abrahamic covenant. They had circumcision. They had a lot of laws. And they had a relationship with God that was often based on keeping outward things. We don't eat this. We don't do this. We do this. We do that. And it was a very much a law-based religion. And so when Paul was talking, he said, I came to testify to the gospel of the good news of the grace of God. Grace is always good news. It's always good news. Well, there's grace. That's, man, grace means, God, you were better to me than I deserved. You have showed favor, and your power and ability on my behalf have done some wonderful things. Right. And that's good news. Now, he's talking to people who had no Jewish heritage. They didn't have the laws. They didn't have the cleansing. They didn't have the washing. By the time that Jesus showed up, the Pharisees, who he had often had run-ins with, had all these different regulations and rules, and Jesus had a different message. He kept saying, guys, it's not about your rules and regulations. It's about your heart. And so he's talking to them about something different, and Paul just carried that theme right over into the Gentiles. Gentiles are all those people who did not have they were not Jewish. That's most of us in here. And so when Paul is talking to them, he would go and tell them about the grace of God. So keep in mind, there wasn't a Baptist church. There wasn't a Methodist church. There wasn't a charismatic church. When Paul would go in there, he was. He brought the church to an area. So he would go into an area, and he would preach to people who were worshiping idols. These people from all over the place. And he would bring to them, he'd say, hey, I got a great message for you. God, the one who created the universe, the heavens and the earth, he sent his son Jesus. Jesus came. He died for your sins and my sins. But God raised him from the dead. And here's the great news. To have a relationship with him, all you have to do is accept what he's done for you through his son. That's a grace message. That's grace. That means you don't have to work your way. Oh, and it made the Jewish people so mad. Oh, there's just no way it could be that easy. There's just no way. They've got to keep the law. And so Paul, and you, when you read the New Testament, you have to understand that Paul was dealing with people all the time. He would go in and preach grace, and these Jewish people would come behind. They called the Judaizers. They would come behind and say, oh, no, no, we think it's wonderful that you received Jesus, but you have to do all these rules and regulations. And I mean, one of the biggest things was circumcision. I think that's one of the toughest sales going, but they tried to sell it. I mean, you know, now we circumcise little boys when we're just a few days old. But now you're going into a group of grown men and going, hey, we think it's wonderful that you received Jesus, but you don't just need Jesus, you need to be circumcised. And for that, I'm out. Game over. No play. But this is what, not only that, you had to eat certain foods. Hebrews 13th chapter. Jewish world still caught up in this. Hebrews 13:9 said, don't be carried about with various and strange doctrines, as teachings. For it's good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Jewish people were big on what kind of foods you could eat, what kind of foods you couldn't eat. You know, you still see some of that today. You see people come, Christian circles, and they're always coming up with these like super Christian foods. And like you're a super Christian if you eat certain kind of foods. And you know, like you're a really good Christian if you don't. We went through a time period where people said, that processed sugar was the devil. And if you ate processed sugar and fat and grease and stuff, that was just like, that. Listen, you could eat Oreos and Whataburger every day of the week, 3 meals a day, and it's not going to change your spiritual relationship with God. You'll probably see Him quicker than the rest of us. But in terms of being spiritual, it's not going to have anything to do with it. And the Jewish people were big on that. And so if anyone ever tries to tell, oh, you can't eat that, you know, if you're a Christian, you got to eat this or eat that, just tell them, lay off that stuff. That's a various and strange doctrine. That's weird. Food doesn't bring me closer to God. No. Some food is like, ooh, that was good enough to maybe qualify, but you know, but food doesn't bring me closer to God. Food doesn't bring God closer to me. Food is food. Jesus said, you eat it and it goes out. He said, it's what comes out of the heart of man that's the biggest thing to look out for. And so don't ever let anybody bring you in bondage over what kind of food to eat. And I eat semi-healthy, except for Sundays when it's sugar day. But it's again, that's not something that you don't want your heart established in foods. It seems the easiest thing for people to do is get caught up in physical things, and the Bible deals with inward things. So in this verse though, as I was looking at this verse, there's another. Carrie, will you put that back up? Acts 20, 24 again. Put this up again. Right in here, though, is a... Did I just mess you up, Carrie? There you go. He was talking about none of these things. People were telling him by the Spirit that he was going to face some difficult times. He said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. In this one verse here are more characteristics of a strong Christian. Now look at that first one. But none of these things move me. Here's what happens. The stronger you get spiritually, the less problems move you and shake you. Now, how many of you know, you can just think about, how many of you have been a Christian for a while and something that may have caused you to go ballistic a few years ago, you're handling so much better now. Is that, anybody say that? It's a sign of maturity when strength when you're able to handle difficult things better. A difficulty comes. And listen, some of us have, I think everyone has a chance to go through difficult things. But sometimes I can tell you, before I knew Christ, I worried. And after knowing Him and growing with Him, things that may have just flipped me out a while back don't faze me as much anymore. What's happened? I've gotten stronger. Amen. And so as you get stronger, what you find is things don't move you as much. Does that make sense? The stronger you get, the more solid you get. And, you know, and Jesus talked about the winds, a man who built his life on God's Word, a woman that built his life on God's Word. He said, the storm comes and the wind blows and it will not shake you. Your house will stand. I'll tell you something. You can get strong enough in your life, and you get strong enough in your marriage that a problem can hit and your marriage can stand. Your family can stand. You can stand. And it doesn't have to tear you apart. And you've watched people who've absolutely have had a problem. You can have two families go through a similar problem. One craters, one stands strong. Say, well, one just has more fortitude. Or is it that they know the Lord better and they have a relationship with Him and He's enabled them to stand when the other couple didn't stand at all? So what happens is, this is one of the huge benefits is, as you begin to grow spiritually, your ability to handle things is so much better. Joy and I talked about something we went through with our daughter a number of years ago. And it was a difficult thing. It was very difficult. And we talked about how Joy handled it. And she really had a difficult time. Joy and Christine are very, very close. And it almost cratered my wife. And we've talked about it now. And when Christina went through the situation at the beginning of the year with Grant, many of you know the story of my grandson that was born. He was in NICU and they thought he was going to die, almost lost my daughter. How Joy handled that was completely different. And she went through it, man. I sent her up there to be with them. And you send Joy in now, it's like sending the cavalry in. She's like a one-man SWAT team. She goes in and gets it done. Well, what happened? Well, she got stronger. And so as you get stronger, you handle things. Here's the second one. He said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. But you get stronger, you are not as caught up in your own life. How many of you know, anybody got any toddlers? How many know toddlers, the whole life is them? Me, mine. I got two little granddaughters right now, man, and they're already starting to scrap. One will see the other one coming, and if she has the toy the other one wants. What is it with girls? Guys just hit each other. Girls scream. Yay! Men, we just pound each other until somebody gives up. Women scream at one another until one of them just like, okay, whatever, you can have it. But you see them, and their whole life is them. How many of you know it's a great thing when your kids start showing some level of maturity where they can actually think about someone besides themselves? Uh-huh. Right. Yes. I was 16 one time. My parents gave me a Christmas present. Now, my parents are good people, but, you know, they were not what I would call the cool parents. You know, cool parents are kind of up on stuff. My parents, mm-mm. So at Christmas, they gave me What were those? It was a open and play. You don't remember that? It was a record player, and you opened it, and it played, and you closed it. It was like for an 8-year-old. And they gave it to me, and I did. They set me up. I did not know it. They set me up. They gave me that. My uncle there. They were all standing there, like waiting for me to open it, and I opened it, and And I remember something strange must have come over me because I just looked at them and went, hey, thank y'all very much. Appreciate that. And I said it back and I sat down, watched some other people, and then they started laughing. And then they came in and brought in a quadraphonic stereo system. Yeah, baby, four speakers. And, yeah, I brought that bad boy in. I'm not talking about a console. I'm talking about a quadraphonic system. I'm not that old. And they brought in that and they just laughed. They said, we just wanted to see how you'd handle it. Well, you expect someone to, you know, I could have just pitched a wall-eyed fit. What the heck are you doing giving me this? But when you mature a little bit, you're able to think about other people. True? As Christians, as we mature, then it's not just about us. He said, I don't count my life dear to myself. It's not just all about us. What happens to me? What happens to me? Everything is about me. The more you get caught up in you, the more you have an opportunity to be upset. Because something's always happening to you. People are always doing something to you. Where'd y'all go? Because y'all were laughing when I was opening up that present, and y'all just disappeared. Where'd y'all go? But isn't it true that the less you're wrapped up in yourself, well, life gets better. Paul said, I don't count my life dear to myself. John 3:30, John the Baptist said something about Jesus. Just a real quick little phrase. He must increase, I must decrease. As Jesus takes more ascendancy in our life, his lordship becomes stronger, and what Alan wants becomes less. You don't like that one? Okay, I'll keep going. Here, let's try this next one. Here's the fourth one in that. He said that I might finish my race with joy. Third one is Rick Warren wrote a book called A Purpose-Driven Life. It's a good book. And he said a purpose, in other words, acknowledging that we are in a race and that we're running for the long haul. Acknowledging that you're in a race. See, a lot of times people think, oh, Alan, you're a pastor, you're in a race. I'm not in a race. Uh-uh. We're all in a race. All of us have a job to do. All of us have a race to run. Look what it says in Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So all of us have a race to run. Here's the great news. I don't have to run your race. You don't have to run mine. But all of us have a race to run. And so Paul was saying, I'm going to finish my race. He said, I'm going to finish my race. So I'm going to run my race. So we've got as a Christian, the stronger we get, things don't move us as much. We're not as moved, not as shaken. The stronger we get as a Christian, then what we find is we're not so wrapped up in us. We're able to think about others. The stronger we get about as a Christian, we realize we are not just down here sucking up air conditioning. We have a purpose in life. And that God has called every one of us to a purpose. Regardless of what your secular job is, all of us still have a part in God's kingdom, and all of us have a race to run. So that's the third. That's the strong. And then here's another one. He said that I might finish my race with joy. So the stronger we get, the more we're able to do this with joy. Didn't the Bible say that the joy of the Lord is my strength? Think about it. How many of you know that days that you are just full of joy, you are stronger than bad days? That when you're down, you just don't have a lot of strength. Now, I have been there, so I can testify this. Days that I have dealt, and years ago, I dealt with depression. Don't deal with it. Depression shows up now. I'm like, I will kick you in the teeth. But it used to run my life. And when you're depressed and down, man, you don't have hardly the strength to do anything. True? But then you hit a time where you just, when you're full of joy, man, you got some strength about you. And the joy, boy, the joy of the Lord is strong. So not only are we going to run our race, there's a verse in Psalms. The Lord showed me this years ago. I really love this. He said, which is like a bridegroom coming out of chamber. Look at this last part. He says, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Strong, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, strong men rejoice. So man, when you're going to run your race, I used to run track. And I knew when I was strong and I was ready to run, I was looking forward to it. When I was in ninth grade, I ran for the county championship. I broke my arm the day before I ran. And I had a cast on. And you say, well, big deal. No, this is when they used to make those casts out of plaster. I'm not talking about these nice new casts they have that breathe. I'm talking about plaster casts that I once got poison ivy under. Yeah, that's going old school and bad. But this one, I had a cast on my arm, and I never forget, I had one guy, I'd beaten him once, he'd beaten me once. He showed up at my school for the county championship, and he saw the cast on him. He was a trash talker. He's like, pfft. He said, I'm going to kick your tail. He actually didn't say that, but I just modified that for you. something rose up on the inside of me. I said, Cass is on my arm, not my leg. I beat him like a rented mule, man. I just tore him up. But I remember I'm getting ready to run, and I'm like, let's do this. Now let's graduate me to high school. I move up. I'm running with all these other people. They're kicking my tail on a regular basis. I didn't like running as much. I'm getting ready to run. I'm like, I don't feel good. I feel sick. I feel bleh. Why? Because I'm not strong enough. When you're strong, listen, so many things aren't a chore. Let's be honest. Sometimes coming to church is like biggest problem for you. You're like, I don't know. You want to go? No, I don't want to go. You want to go? I don't know. What's he talking on? I don't know. What did you talk on last week? I don't know. I didn't listen. Did you listen? I don't know. You want to go? You know, kids got a runny nose. Kids always got a runny nose. I mean, are we going to go? We're going to. And happy note, when you're on top of things, you're like, let's go. Get them in the car. But they haven't eaten yet. Feed them in the car. Let's go. Let's go. Let's run. We're going to go. The stronger you get, the more joy is there. I hope you don't have to. No, I realize I'm talking to Wednesday night crowd. Y'all are a different group. I got that. Right? Y'all showed up on Wednesday night. Y'all could be doing something else, but you're here. How many of you, and I've had people tell me, oh, Alan, it's so hard for me to get here. It's so hard. I'm like, well, I hope you do better after the service. It's like, it was hard. I almost didn't want to come. Can I tell you that doesn't bless me? But when you get stronger, you have more joy. So joy is strength. Well, just think about it. When you're, okay, how about this? How many of you, when you have a job to do in your house, like you're going to clean the garage. When you wake up on a Saturday morning, you know you got to clean the garage. Do you wake up and go, oh, praise God, let's clean the garage today. Oh, yes. Is it different when you wake up and you know you're going on vacation? Oh, how do you wake up when you're going on vacation? Like, bing, your eyes come wide awake. You're like, yeah, baby, let's do this. Let's get together. It's only 4 o'clock. Let's leave early. Let's go. We'll beat the crowd. What? A lot more joy there. And so, thank God, as we grow in strength, we grow in joy. Now, here's the part I wanted to get to like last week, but here we are. Paul said again, Acts the 20th chapter. So we begin to talk about how do you get stronger. Acts 20, 32, he says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I commend you to God. It's a relationship with God. How do you have a relationship with God? One of the best ways you can do it is spend some time. You know, spend hours, spend some time in prayer. Just talk to him. And then learn to give him praise. It may sound very different for you. But if you can begin to do that, it'll strengthen this relationship. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. As you begin to read the scriptures, you're reading the word of what God's grace hath done. How many of you have ever heard us quote, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. You've heard me quote that a lot, haven't you?
Yes.
That's a word of what God's grace has done for you. That you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Now, we understand that one, but there's a lot more that God's grace has done for us. If you're in Christ, now you're no longer a stranger and a foreigner. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a member of the household of God. If you're in Christ, no longer are you a weakling. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. So what we're starting to do is we're starting to find out what has grace done for you. UPS used to have a slogan years ago, what has Brown done for you? Well, maybe you got my package on time, but I tell you what grace has done for you is powerful. And when you find out, you're finding that out, it starts to build you up. And you realize, hey, I'm not just some victim. I'm not just waiting for Jesus to come back. I'm just not subject to everything the enemy has in store. I've been made a child of God. I've got some strength. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. What grace has done for me has given me the ability. I don't have to take everything that comes my way. And it's able, you begin to find out, God, you did something in me. God doesn't make any defects in his new creations. He doesn't make any tiered systems where, oh, you're a special Christian and you barely got in. Grace evens everything out. I tell people at the foot of the cross, the ground is completely level. And when you come before the throne, it's level. No tiers, no system. You find out what grace has done for you. So he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, and I'm still halfway through where I wanted to go. It is y'all's fault. You listen too well. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Your grace is such a wonderful subject. And as we open it up, Father, it just expands on us. So, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for what you have done. And, Father, what your grace has provided and what it's made available to us. What a wonderful thing. Father, tonight I thank you for every individual and every family that's represented. I thank you, Father, that your grace is sufficient for one, every one of them, to help them overcome any problems, any strife, any heartache, any depression, any addiction. Father, your grace is stronger, and we are grateful for that. We give you all the praise. Father, your grace is what saved us. It's your grace that's made us whole. Thank you for that. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and you're honest with yourself, you say, Alan, I don't have a relationship with God. I know that. I've never accepted his son Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know that, but I would really like to change that tonight. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Alan, I know I've done that in time past and I've gotten away from God. I'm far away from him. I know I'm not right where I should be, but I want to be. And I really would appreciate if you would pray for me. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask that you stand up. I'm not going to ask that you come to the front. But if either one of those situations applies to you and this evening you're saying, I want to change this. I want this to be different in my life. I want in on whatever God has for me, or I want to come back to him. If that's you, heads are bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around. Will you slip your hand up real quickly across the auditorium? Say, Alan, that's me that you're talking to. Would you pray for me? Thank you. In the back. Yes, thanks. Thanks. Yes. Thanks. Yeah, I see you on the side. Up in the balcony. Yeah. Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You really wanted to. You thought, man, I really want to get in on this. You can get in on this right here. This is not just about lifting hands. Good to acknowledge. But from your heart, pray this prayer. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, Dear God. I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I said yes to you. Father, I'm so grateful for people who have prayed that prayer tonight from their hearts. Father, people who have stepped out of darkness into your light, people who have come back into the light, thank you for your great love. Thank you that you're always open-armed towards us. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.